Morning. Today's daf and brachos nun ches. We're on the very top of nunches medal. We're starting this morning with the words Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah. Gemara concluded a lengthy discussion regarding dreams. The Gemara spent 2.5 lot discussing it all the way from nun hey Amud Aleph, the bottom of the Amud, all the way to the bottom of Nun Zayin Amud Beis, yesterday's daf. After which the Gemara returned back to our Mishnah and discussed the various Berachos HaShevach. The Berachos HaShevach that was discussed in our Mishnah primarily had to deal with nature and seeing either nature or nature in action, or to see events that were supernatural. One sees an event that's supernatural, a nes, as we would refer to it. So that also is cause for a bracha. And the Gemara yesterday quoted a brisa that if you went to Bavel and you saw the destruction of Bavel, that also warranted a bracha as well. The destruction of Bavel is based on Nevuah, and when you see a Nevuah that is put into action, so that also demands a bracha. In fact, we saw a brisa yesterday that when you go into Bavel, so there are 5 bracha opportunities when going into the Bavel. When going into Bavel, we went through the brisa yesterday that went through all 5 brachas, and so the Gemara continues along that track. We are on the very top of Nunches Amud Aleph. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar, Niskala Bavel, Niskala Shechneha. So when Bavel was destroyed, so were the Shechinim as well. The neighboring countries were also destroyed as well. Rashi bases it on the principle of Oy LaRasha, Oy LaShechino, woe to the person, woe to the neighbors that are around. And Niskala Shomron, however, when Shomron was destroyed, Shomron being the northern kingdom of Eretz Yisrael, the schism between the north and the south that takes place, only a few generations of Malchus, not even a few, just 2. But the schism that takes place, so it makes a permanent divide between north and south. South is Yehuda and Yerushalayim, and the north is Shomron. And so the northern kingdom was lasted for some time, but eventually was destroyed. Sancheriv destroyed the northern kingdom. But when the northern kingdom was destroyed, Nizbarchu Shecheinah. So the contrast is that Bavel was destroyed, the neighboring countries were destroyed as well. But as far as the Shomron was destroyed, so the neighboring countries actually received bracha. And the Gemara is going to quote psukim that support these ideas. Niskala Bavel, Niskala Shechinah, Dechsiv, V'samti al Amarash, Kapod V'agmei Mayim. So the Gemara the Pasuk, the Navi describing the destruction of Bavel, tells us that it's going to be run over by wild animals and swamp waters. However, Niskala Shomron, but when the Shomron was destroyed, is Baruchu Shechinah, Dechsiv, the Pasuk, V'samti Shomron, La'ay Asadel, Lem'atei Karim. When Shomron was destroyed, but still it was left as vineyards and fields. And so it was still going to be beneficial for the neighboring countries. Amar Rav Hamnuna Haroa Ochlos Yisrael. Gemara now is going to go over other brachos that are to be said when seeing events. And over here, the event that we're going to be describing is seeing the multitudes of the Jewish people. Rav Hamnuna's court is saying that if you see Ochlos Yisrael, if you see multitudes of the Jewish people, how many are we talking about? So Rashi over here says 600,000. The reason Rashi arrived at that number is because we're going to see the Gemara is going to give us that number in just a moment. So the baruch is Baruch Atah Hashem Elokim Mecholam, Chacham HaRazim. Chacham HaRazim, HaRazim over here from the word Raz, which means secrets. And Rashi over here writes, Ayodea Masha Belev Kol Elu. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows what's in the heart of all these people. And we're no two people are the same. No two people think exactly the same. And Kadosh Baruch Hu is Chacham HaRazim. He knows these secrets. Now, if a person were to see a multitude of non-Jews, Omer Busha Machem. Now, over here it says Ovde Kochavim, so it could literally mean idolaters, because the bracha is Busha Machem, which is an indication of embarrassment. So probably over here it means literally idolaters. Tan Rabban the Gemara quotes the Brisa, Aro Chlosi Yisrael Omer Brucha Chamarazim, Shein Datem Doma Zelazeh, Vein Partufos Domim Zelazeh. Okay, so this Brisa over here is going to be a little bit more descriptive, but it's the same basic point. And that is when you see the multitudes of the Jewish people, you say Chacham HaRazim. And the Brisa here says it. I mean, we said it as Pshat, but the Brisa says it beferish. No two people look the same, no two people think the same. And meanwhile, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is familiar with the thought patterns of all these people. Ben Zoma, Ra'a Ochlose, Ben Zoma Ra'a Ochlose Al-Gav Mala Bahar Abayis. Ben Zoma saw multitudes of Jewish people sitting by Har Abayis. And Amar and he made the bracha, bracha tashem, okay, mechalam, chacham harazim. Ubarach, shebarach kol e l'shamsheni. Okay, so so he would make the bracha. He'd make the bracha of chacham harazim. And then presumably he would also make the bracha or comment, not clear, but Shabar kol elu shamsheni, that they were all there to serve me. It's interesting, by the way, just as a historical note, Ben Zoma seeing all these Jews on Har Habayis. Ben Zoma was contemporaries with Rabbi Kiva. Ben Zoma was actually a student of Rabbi Kiva, and Rabbi Kiva lived after the destruction. So either the description over here is Ben Zoma at a very young age of his life, or maybe they got together by Har Habayis even after Chorban. Maybe. Anyway, Hu Haya Omer. Ben Zoma would say a number of things. And the Gemara here in this Brisa, as long as we had Ben Zoma commenting on one thing, so he commented on a similar idea. What do I gain by the fact that there are multitudes of people? And he goes on to describe. Hu Haya Omer, he would say, Kama Yigios Yaga Adam Rishon, Achamasa Pat Lechol. Imagine for a moment what Adam had to do just to have a loaf of bread. And that would be, he would have to go through the entire process of bread making. And that would be Charish plowing, Zara seed, planting the seeds, Katsar harvesting, Amar, gathering into a pile, Dash, threshing, Zara, winnowing, Borer, he had to select Tachan, he had to grind the wheat, Hirkid, sifting, Lush, kneading, Afa, baking. Okay, those are 11 activities. So you're going to remember that list. We're all going to remember that list when we go back to Shabbos. Shabbos, when we talk about the 39 Malachos. So the first 11 of the 39 Malachos are what's called Sidurei Depat, the 11 actions that are necessary in order to make bread. And we just went through the 11 of the Sidurei Depat. Also, just I know it's going to be a while before we get there to the seventh parak of Shabbos. But also remember the listing and the order of the listing. Here we have Charash V'Zara. We have plowing and then planting seeds. We're going to see in Shabbos, it's Zoreh V'Choresh. It's planting seeds and then plowing. And the Gemara over there is going to note that that seems to be a little bit odd, because first you plow and then you plant. But anyway, okay, we'll get there. So, it's Gemara over there. Yep. So, V'hir Kivala Shvafa V'achar Kach Acha. And then, after all that, then and only then, Adam Rishon was able to sit down and eat bread. V'anu Mashkim HaMetzi Kol Eilu Metukanin Lefanai. And meanwhile, Ben Zoma says, and look, I wake up in the morning, you know what I do? I take a walk over to the bakery, and I help myself to some bread. And just imagine. And again, it's a function of the fact that there's so many people in this world, so all this work is able to be done by all these people. And again, we're going to go through the same thing regarding the clothing that is worn. What did Adam HaRishon have to do in order to wear clothing? And he had to gazas lava nafatz tava v'arag. So he had to shear the animal and bleach the wool and comb it and spin it and weave it. And those five steps, and again, when we get to Melachah Shabbos, so we're going to speak about those in detail, but those are the steps that he needs to do just to make a garment. Again, Ben Zoma comments, so what do? So I wake up in the morning, I go to the store, and I purchase for myself an article of clothing. And just on a broader level, now we have the word umos on the side, umnios, which are professions, but it's the basic idea that all the professions are working for me and coming to my house, and I just wake up and it's all there. So he talks about the luxuries of life. Imagine if Ben Zoma lived in our world. So hu haya omer orech tov. Mahu Omer. Now, Ben Zoma would say the following. Now, let's say you're a guest at somebody's house. So if you're an Orech Tov, if you're a good guest, so here's what you sound like. You say, Omer, Kama, Tarchos, Tarach, Balabais, Bishvili, how much work was done for me? And Kama, Basar, Hei, Vilafanai, how much meat was brought to me? Kama, Yain, Hei, Vilafanai, and the wine that was brought for me? Kama, Glus, Kaos, Hei, Vilafanai, and the rolls and the muffins that were brought to me? V'chomash, Tarach, Latarach, Ela, Bishvili, and all this work that was done for me. You're recognizing and appreciating all the good that was done for you. Now, if you're a bad guest, what do you sound like? So the Ben Zoma goes on to describe. So if you think about it, he made a big meal. And for me, exactly what was there? There was a roll. So, okay, fine. So I had a small roll. I had a piece of meat. I drank a little bit. So the truth of the matter is, he's got a big family to feed. And I was just one person at the table. So al orech tov mahu omer. Okay, so obviously the distinction being someone who's appreciative and someone who is far less than appreciative. Now on the good guest, so the pasuk says zachor ki saski pa'alo asher shara anashim. So he remembers the great work that was done, and singing the praises. That's the pasuk Aniyov describing the Orech Tov. Al Orech Ra ksiv lachen yaruhu anashim. And for the Orech Ra, so people fear him. And no one's really that appreciative of having someone who is not appreciative at his house. Adkan, that takes us to the end of the brisa regarding Ben Zoma. Again, all this started with the bracha that you say with the multitudes of people. And then he talked about simply living in a world where there are, in fact, multitudes of people. The Gemara over here digresses for just a moment. We are reading a pasuk in the beginning of Shmuel Aleph, not the beginning, but describing an elderly man, nondescript elderly man. So Amar Rav Vitem Rav Zvid Vitem Rav Osha Zay Yishai Avi David. So this reference over here is to Yishai, father of David HaMelech. Shiatza Ba'achlusa V'Nechnas V'Nichnas Ba'achlusa. Now, when he would leave, he would always go with an entourage. When he would come, as well with an entourage, with a group of people. And ochlosa, in the context of our Gemara, means a very large group of people. Vidarsh ba'ochlosa, and he would darshan with the multitudes. So, Amar Ula, v'iteima enoch, I'm sorry, let's pause over here. And the point over here, I guess the idea is that since we discuss multitudes of people, so we had another comment having to do with multitudes of people. Doesn't seem other than that that there's any connection between the two statements. And what exactly is the point regarding Yishai that he was with the multitudes? What even in the statement in of itself, what the Gemara is trying to communicate with us? Not perfectly clear, but anyway, but that's the it's a connection. Amar Ula Naktinan Ein Ochlusa BeBavel. So Rava says that there is no population as it relates to Bavel. Now, probably what he means by that is that there's no halachic status of having a multitude. He's not doing a census over here, and he's not telling us that there are no population in Bavel. We know, and remember, Rav is making this comment. Sorry, Ula is making this comment. So at that point in time, there were a tremendous number of Jews living in Bavel. But what he probably means by that is that it doesn't have the halachic status, meaning that when we talked about seeing a multitude of the Jewish people, you're going to make a bracha. Good. So now what Ula's probably saying is that that's only true in Eretz Yisrael, but not outside of Eretz Yisrael. Now, what I just suggested is Pshat in the Gemara, that happens to be Shitas HaRambam. The Rambam writes that the bracha of Chacham HaRazim is only said when you see multitudes in Eretz Yisrael, not outside Eretz Yisrael. And this Gemara that we just read certainly seems to be supportive of that. Tana, Ein Ochlosa Pechusa Meshishim Ribo. And on top of that, another halachic statement regarding what is an Ochlosa, what's the population, it has to be no less than 600,000. Tana Rabbanan. Haro Chachmei Yisrael. So if you see a collection of Chachamim, now here, doesn't say how many, doesn't say where, but there's a special bracha to be said when you see Chachmei Yisrael. Omer Baruch Shechalach Mechachmaso L'Re'av. Okay, so the bracha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives from his Chachma to those who fear him. Chachmei Ovde Kochavim, if you see a collection of Chachamim amongst the non-Jews, right? There is Chachma amongst the Umos HaOlam. The Gemara says that in a number of other places. And if you see it, so Omer Baruch Shanasa Mechachmaso L'Briyosav. The Girsa we have in our Gemara is L'Briyosav. Now that's still in contrast with Chachmei Yisrael. Chachmei Yisrael, we said the word Yireyav. If you look at the Gaon over here, so the Gaon over here takes out the word Briyosav and he says Basar Vadam. Okay. But it's the same basic idea. It's a contrast between Chachmei Yisrael and Chachmei of the Kochavim. Harei Macha Yisrael, Omer Baruch Shechalak Mechvodo L'Yireyav. If you have an opportunity to see Macha Yisrael, so there's a bracha for that as well. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives from his honor and gives it to those who fear him. Macha of the Kochavim, but if you see Melech of a non-Jewish entity, Omer, Baruch Shanasa Mechvodo, now again, we have in our Gemara the Girsa L'Briyosav, or according to the Vilna Gaon, it's Basav Adam. But it's the same basic idea. There is honor in the institution of a king, but it's not L'Riyav, but it's B'Yosav or Basav Adam. I don't know. And it's a fair question. I don't know. Amar Rabbi Yochanan la'olam yishadu adam la'rutz l'kras machi yisrael v'lo l'kras machi yisrael b'vad al'afil l'kras malchi ov de kochavim. A statement of Rabbi Yochanan that we already saw a couple of times earlier in this Masechta. This will now be the third time that we're seeing Rabbi Yochanan make this comment. And that is, if you have an opportunity to see a king, so run to go see the king. And not just a Jewish king, even a non-Jewish king as well. Shim yizke yavchim be'machi yisrael ha'machi ov de kochavim. Because if you do, and you'll see a non-Jewish king, you'll have the opportunity for contrast. And you'll see the difference between Mache of the Kochavim and Mache Yisrael. Really interesting Rashi over here. Rashi writes, in terms of this ability to make a distinction, Rashi says she miyizke. Rashi, not a lot of Rashi's over here in our daf. But Rashi writes over here, it's the right hand column of Rashi. She miyizke laolam haba v'yira bechvod melech Mashiach. So Rashi over here, interestingly, writes that the contrast is going to be whatever king you see, and eventually the king Melech HaMashiach. Right? Why Rashi took us all the way there? I'm not clear, right? He didn't have to say that as a pshat in the Gemara, but Rashi does. And on top of that, also another interesting note within Rashi, Rashi over here describes it as what kind of period in time in the future? He calls it Olam Haba. Right? Generally speaking, we have the Yemos HaMashiach and the Olam Haba as two different periods of time. Rashi over here puts the two together. Okay, certainly an interesting comment by Rashi. Anyway, back to our Gemara. Rav Sheshes Aginor Hava. Rav Sheshes himself was blind. We know of our blind Amoraim. So on the forefront was Rav Sheshes and Rav Yosef. So Rav Sheshes was blind and have a ka'azle kule amle kabule ape malka v'kam azuba hadayum. So there was the king coming into town. Everyone was going to greet the king, and Rav Sheshes was going there as well. Now Rav Sheshes Ashkechei Tzeduke. Now Rav Sheshes happened to have bumped into a Tzeduke as he was walking to go greet the king. Now the Tzeduke over here, obviously a sectarian Jew, and somebody who was not sympathetic to Talmid Chachamim, and to say the least, he was extraordinarily antagonistic and, quite frankly, rude towards Rav Sheshes. So Amar Leh, so he says to him, the Tzeduke says to Rav Sheshes, that is a really obnoxious comment by the Tzeduki. And what it means is as follows, explains Rashi, is that if you were a full barrel, so fine, so I understand why it is that you're going to go to the water, because you're able to collect the water from the river. However, if you are a broken barrel, what exactly would be the point of you going to the river? Meaning you're going to just simply, you're going to fill up the water and it's just going to go right through you. And the obnoxious comment that he made to Rav Sheshes is that, look, I understand people who see, they can go see the king, but you can't see. So what's the point of you even going? Okay. So Amar Leh Tachazid Yadan Tvei Minach. So Rav Sheshes says to Tzeduki, you're going to be surprised because I'm going to have more knowledge than you are, and you're going to see I'm going to know more than you do. So Chalav Gunda Kamaisa. So the first group comes in. So in other words, it's basically the king's... the king's procession, and here comes the first group, and Kika Avsha, and the sound that's created, Amar Leh Hahu Tzeduki Hashtakasi Malka. So the Tzeduki says, okay, now the king's coming, and Rav Sheshes, who's standing right next to the Tzeduki, says, Amar Leh Rav Sheshes Lo Kaase Malka. Nah, he's not coming. No, that's not the king. It's just a part of his entourage, but it's not the king. Chalav. Chalav Gunda Tanesa, okay, Tanina, and then here comes the second group, Kika Avsha, and again screaming, right, a large sound. So Amalei with Tzeduki Hashakasi Malka, Amalei Rav Sheshes Lo Kasi Malka, and again the same exchange, where the Tzeduki says now the king's coming, and Rav Sheshes says not yet. Chalav Tilsa, and along comes now the third round, and Kika Shatka, and the crowd was quiet. Amalei Rav Sheshes Vada Hashtas Amalka. Rav Sheshes says, okay, now. Right? He taps the Tzeduki and he says, that's the king. Now, Amalei Tzeduki Manalacha. Now, the Tzeduki was impressed, right? No apologies over here. He was a Tzeduki, but he was very impressed. And he said, how did you know this? So Amalei, the Machusa Darike Machusa Darikia. Look, how does Machus work? So the way it works down here is similar to the way it works up there as well. V'ksiv, and obviously Rav Sheshes familiar with Psukim and Navi, so now he's quoting. Yetseva Amalta Bahar Lifnei Hashem, Hinei Hashem Over Viruch Gedolah V'Chazak Mefarek Harim Meshaber Salim Lifnei Hashem. So the conversation over here between Elisha and Eliyahu regarding exactly when Akash Baruch Hu is coming. Lo Baruch Hashem Ve'ach Lo Baruch Hashem. So it's you're going to hear this big wind. That's not where Hashem can be found. Ve'ach Haruch Ra'ash Lo Baruch Hashem. And then afterwards, you're going to hear this big noise, and Akash Baruch Hu is not there as well. V'acharash Eish, and then you're going to see fire. Lo be'esh Hashem, he's not in the fire. V'achar Eish kol demama daka. And then afterwards, you're going to hear silence, right? If that's a proper sentence. But in other words, there you will hear silence. And that's where Akash Baruch Hu will lie. And so therefore, all I did is I just take the knowledge that I know regarding how Akash Baruch Hu operates, and I bring it down to the Malchus in this world, and it operates in a similar pattern. Who, Rav Sheshes? No. He was a student of Rav. He was early. He was of the early generations.
Did you give him in bubble at that time?
Apparently. It's like a fair question.
Yeah, this has a gears change.
And I was just about to say, okay, good, you're right. And I was just about to say, when we see the word Stuki in the Gemara, so that probably means it went through some editing, right? Stuki is a clean word to describe some other group. Okay, and I'm not trying to indicate what that other group is. I don't know, but Stuki doesn't necessarily have to mean Stuki. Ki asa malka, he notes that. Okay, good. Ki asa malka pasuk chasheshes v'kama varchlai. And now along comes the king, and now chasheshes gets the opportunity to make the bracha. So Amalei out Tzduki, Laman de lo chazis le kamavarta. And so the Tzduki says, why are you making a bracha? You can't see him. So there's no reason why you should be making a bracha. Okay, so Tzduki didn't learn any lessons and was just as rude. So my havi Allah da out Tzduki. The Gemara assumes that there's no way that Zit Tzduki got to mistreat Rav Sheshes in such a manner and nothing happens to him. The Gemara assumes that can't be. Something happened to Tzduki, it's just a question of what happened. So the Ikad Amri, so the Gemara gives a couple of versions of what became of this Tzduki. Charu kachlinu le'enei. So one version is that his friends, we'll put that word in quotes, his friends took him and blinded him. Okay, really, not a lot of detail and exactly what happened to get us to that point, unclear. Anyway, that's one version. Avigad Amri, another version, Rav Sheshes nasan einav bo v'nasa gal shel tzamos. Rav Sheshes gave the Tzduki a look, and he was reduced to a pile of bones. Okay. The Gemara now continues with another episode, another incident. Rav Shila nagde lahu gavra de baal mitzvahs. Rav Shila got a hold of a guy. The guy behaved in a very immodest fashion. He was having relations with a non-Jewish woman, and he gave him malchus. Malchus mardus, it's malchus midrabanan, but in other words, for behaving in such an inappropriate fashion. Again, we're not given a lot of details over here. Was he a repeat offender? Was he doing it in a very public manner? We don't have a lot of information to work with over here, but the person over here behaved in an extraordinarily immodest fashion, and Rav Shila said, okay, so for that kind of behavior, so you give malchus. The beginning of Kedushin talks about how malchus is given to people for inappropriate behavior, conduct that was highly immodest and inappropriate. So over here, similar idea. So the person who now received the malchus, so not only didn't refine his ways, but just he went in the opposite direction. So he just reported Rav Shila to the authorities. Now they're living in Bavel, and what Rav Shila is doing is Rav Shila is taking justice into his hands. But in other words, he feels obviously he has the right to do so. In other words, the Jewish community back then, even in Bavel, had a certain autonomous nature to it, and so basically he was exercising his responsibility as being the Jewish leader at the time to enforce in a Jewish community. But the person who received the malchus, so he just ran to the non-Jewish government and he said, you're not going to believe it. The Jews think they rule this place. Amar, ikachad gav Rabbi Yehuda, dekadayin dina below harmana de malka. And so he runs to the local non-Jewish government and he says that I'm telling you over here, we have a Jewish person in our community and he's exercising justice. And he's doing so without authorization. He didn't receive permission from the government to go ahead and to judge. And he's doing so on his own. So, Shadra Lai Prisakta. And so, an investigator, basically, was sent to find out what's going on over here. Ki Asar Amalei, Maitam and Nagdai Lahai. And so, the investigator goes now to Rav Shila and says, look, reports are that you gave him malchus. Why did you do that? So, Amalu, so his response is, the Baal Chamasa. Well, he was engaged in bestiality, and that's why I give him malchus. So Amar Lei Isach Sahade. So he says, do you have witnesses to this event? Amar Luhin. He says, yeah, sure. Asa Eliyahu Adme Lekeinshi VeAsid. And so along comes Eliyahu Navi and dresses up like a human and testifies that this person, in fact, behaved in such a manner. Okay, right. The obvious questions of A, he wasn't being totally honest with the local government. Two, he was relying on a miracle. Three, it was only one witness, it wasn't two witnesses. So I know there's a lot that needs addressing over here. We're going to go on. But I'm aware of the fact that there's a lot going on here.
Do you want to call us the Persians for their legal system in terms of they rely on that?
Yeah. So Amrlay, yeah, but right. But this is something that they wouldn't have done anything to. Right? This was strictly a Jewish issue and his immodest behavior. Amrlay Ihachi Bar Kitalahu. So now the investigator said, okay, I'm with you so far. You know, you should have killed him. An act of bestiality, it's chayv misa. So Amar Lahu, Anam Yuma Degalim Aaron Leislan Rishus Lelam Miktel. So he said, look, we don't have permission to kill. We were exiled. We're living now in exile, and we just simply don't have the authority to go ahead and kill anybody. We don't execute anymore without a beis din and without living in Eretz Yisrael. Asan Manda Bisun Avidubei. But he says as follows. He says, look, if you want to take him to your justice and you want to do with him what you want. So Adama Ainebe Bedina Pasach Rashil Va'amar, and now the investigator now is going to bring back the report of what he heard, and so far everything seems to check out, and Rashil is doing what he can be doing and he should be doing, and you know he'd like to do more but he can't. So the investigator was going to go back with at least for Rav Shila, a good report. While this was happening, Rav Shila said to Amar, so he started quoting the pasuk, meaning he was thanking Akash Baruch Hu for basically getting him out of this pickle. Amrile my kamart. Now he said the pasuk a little too loud, and now the investigator turns around and says to Rav Shila, what are you saying? So Amrilehu hachi kamina. So he says, oh, it's so funny you're asking. So I'm actually saying the following. Baruch Rachmana diav machusa ba'arake machusa derikia. Thank Akash Baruch Hu that he gave machus in this world, meaning our local non-Jewish government. It's just like the Machus to Shemayim, just like the government, the monarchy up in heaven. Vayv lechu shultano v'racham edina. So they gave you the justice system and they also gave you compassion, meaning I love this government. Okay. Again, by the way, you could probably say he wasn't being I'll say it stronger. He wasn't representing really his true intent, but again, for the purposes of keeping harmony with him and the local government, okay, so he set up shot in the pasuk. So Amru Chaviv Allah Yikar de Machusa Kolehai. So the investigator said, "You really love the government that much?" So Yavi Le Kupa Amru Le Don Dina. So he says, "Look, I didn't realize you were such a fan of our government." He gives him now a rod and he says, "Look, you have now our authority and our permission. You can do with him whatever you want." He have a nafik, Amar Luhu, Au Gavra, Avid Rahmana, Nisa Lashakre. And so now this person, in other words, the person who committed the immodest act, and now he says, I cannot believe it. I can't believe a miracle occurred to you, and meanwhile, you're a liar, he tells Rav Shila. So Hachi Amarle, Rash Alav Chamra Ikru, Dichziv. Now Rav Shila, defending himself, says, look, I didn't lie. In other words, I'm working within the construct of various psukim. And the idea that I said that you committed bestiality, it's not totally, maybe a little bit misleading in terms of what I said, but in terms of the words that I used, the words can be defended. The pasuk says, "Asher b'sar chamarim b'saram." The Navi says that their flesh is that like that of the donkeys, right? The big discussion how far reaching this idea is that to a certain degree, so it's fair to describe them as Besar Chamorim. But anyway, but the idea is over here is that at least it's defensible, that which I said. So so good. So now this person who A, was whipped by Rav Shila, B, accused Rav Shila of lying to the government, now was ready to go back to the local government and tell them, do you know that this guy Rav Shila basically called you a bunch of animals? And he was ready to tell that to the government. So we basically have a term to describe such an individual. I mean, aside from all the adjectives, but in halacha, this is somebody who's referred to as a moser, somebody who's ready to report to the non-Jews that of the conduct of the Jewish people. Gemara in Baba Kama, the 10th perek, discusses this in detail, and the Gemara in Baba Kama makes no bones about it. Somebody who's a moser, so that's a person who's chayv misa. He falls under the category of rodef. We're going to see the exact same language right in just a moment in our Gemara, and so the. And so this person now clearly is qualifying as a moser. So Amar Hirodefu. So Rav Shila says regarding this person, this guy is really not good. And he's a rodef. V'atar Amar im bala hargacha ashkem lahargo. And the Torah says someone's about to kill you, and a moser is jeopardizing Jewish lives, so we have the responsibility to defend ourselves and to kill him. Malchi b'kupe v'katle. And Rav Shila kills him. Amar holvi zavidli nisa b'haikra doshinalei. And now as a epilogue to the story, so Rav Shila says, look, a miracle occurred for me based on this pasuk, so now I'll just use this as an opportunity to darshan the pasuk. And he goes ahead and he darshans the pasuk. So the Gedula mentioned in the pasuk is a reference to Maaseh Breishis. Another pasuk speaking to Gedula and Maaseh Breishis. Hagavur zu Yitzias Mitzrayim, the strength of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a reference to Yitzias Mitzrayim, Shenemar, Vayar Yisrael Siyad HaGedolam. Hatifer is the splendor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zeh Chama Ulevana She'amdu Lo Yehoshua. So that can be a description of way of describing the sun and moon standing for Yehoshua. Shenemar Vayidom HaShemesh Vayarech Amad. VeHaNeitzach and the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? The triumph of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zuma Palasa Sharami. That will be the ultimate destruction of the Romans. VeChenu Omer VeYaz Netzachim Al Begadi VeHahod and the splendor Zuma Chemes Nachle Arnon. That refers to the war of Nachle Arnon. Now, do you remember Nachle Arnon? We had earlier in the Gemara. That was where they sang the Shira and Parshas Chukas, the Esvahiva Sufa. And what happened was is that there was an ambush that was prepared for us, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the mountains and squeezed them together and killing all the enemies who were looking to ambush us in the desert. That's Milchemes Nachle Arnon. Shenemar al Ken Yomar B'Sefer Milchemes Hashem Esvahiv B'Sufa. And going back now to the pasuk, Ki Kol B'Shamayim Uva'aretz Zeh Milchemes Sisra. And that's talking about the war of Sisra. Now, admittedly, by the way, he's working a little bit out of order historically, but he's assigning various historical miracles to the various phrases within the pasuk. Shenemar Mineshamayim Nechama Kochavim Mimisil Asam. Kadosh Baruch Hu fought the war against Sisra from the heavens. Right, that's by Shiras Devorah. Lecha Shemam Amlecha Zum Mechamas Amalek. And the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a reference to the war of Amalek. V'cheinu Omer, ki yad al-keis ka, v'ha misnase zemuchemes Gog u'Magog. And the misnase is referencing the war of Gog u'Magog. V'cheinu Omer, hinini alecha Gog nasi rosh meshech v'tuval. And lichol rosh, amar Rav Chanan bar Rava, amar Rav Yochanan afilu resh gargita min shamayim manule. So as far as every head, what does that mean? Anyone who receives any kind of position of authority, it's dictated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even the one charged of irrigation, right? What's your job? I'm head of irrigation. Okay, good. So everybody, we all like to make our job seem important and look important. We all give ourselves nice titles. And so over here, the head of irrigation. But the truth of the matter is that you're only appointed that position because HaKadosh Baruch Hu demanded that you're going to get that position. B'masis etana now in a braisa. So we also darshan this pasuk a little bit differently. Mishmei de Rabbi Kiv l'chashem agdula zukriyas yamsuf. So the Gedulah is Kriyas Yamsuf, Hagvur is the Makas Bechoros, Tifer is the Matan Torah, Netzach is the Yerushalayim, Vahod is the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so a slightly different version of how to assign the phrases to various items that it's making reference to. Okay, but I kind of takes us to the end of the story. Amud Aleph now is completed. So basically, let's just quickly recap the Amud Aleph. We talked this morning so far about making brachas when seeing multitudes of Jewish people, non-Jewish people, Chachme Yisrael, Chachme Umas Ha'olam. So various brachas that are said under those circumstances. What happens when you see kings, the brachas that are said over kings, Jewish kings, non-Jewish kings, the importance of going to see a non-Jewish king and to be able to make a contrast between a non-Jewish king and a Jewish king, the story of Rav Sheshes and the Tzeduki and the very extraordinarily rude Tzeduki and what happens and the aftermath of what happened to the Tzeduki because he was so disrespectful to Rav Sheshes. And then the end of the Amud Aleph, we talked about the incident of Shila, where he had to deal with somebody who acted extraordinarily immodest, and the twists and turns that story took. Tana Rabban, we are on the top of Nuches Amud Beis, and we are now continuing with a Braisa. Haroi Bat Yisrael B'Yishuvan. If you see a Jewish settlement, now Yishuvan literally means as they are settled, but it's pretty clear from the context of the Braisa and the Bracha that's going to be said, is that we're talking about where it was resettled. And on top of that, also, I'll point to Rashi, even though we didn't see the Gemara yet, but the first Rashi on the Amud, Rashi says, Kagon be Yishuv Beit Sheni, right? The settlement of Beit Sheni. So we don't really mean just a settlement, but it seems to be that it was a resettlement. So what's the bracha that you make? Omer Baruch, Meitziv Gvul Almana. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the borders of the Almana. So Almana over here, meaning that basically start life again. Okay. Bechor Banan, now if you're seeing a Jewish settlement now that in its destruction, Omer Baruch Dayan HaEmes. So that deserves a simple bracha of Dayan HaEmes. Bati Ovdei Kocham B'Yishum Amar Beis Ge'is Yisich Hashem. Now if you see the house of idolaters, So you should make a bracha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu should knock down the arrogance of this group. Now, if you see it in its destruction, so it's interesting. The Gemara over here, the Brisa over here, doesn't sound like it's not a pasuk. I mean, sorry, it's not a bracha. It's a pasuk. So are you saying the pasuk in the context of a bracha? It's not totally clear. Ula v'Rav Chista havu ka'azle ba'orcha. Ula and Rav Chista were walking on the way. Ki matu apischa debe Rav Chana bar Chanilai. Nagad Rav Chista v'asnach. So they passed by the house, the destroyed house of Rav Chana bar Chanilai. And Rav Chista, when they passed the house and they saw the destruction, so Rav Chista let out a big sigh. Amar le Ula amai ka misnachas. And what's with the kvetch? V'amar Rav ancha shaveres chatsi gufo shel Adam. You know that if you let out a really deep sigh, so it breaks you. It's literally dispiriting. Shenamar, the pasuk says, V'atab ben Adam anach b'shivera masnayim. And it breaks half the body. Right, the masnayim are the loins. Basically, it knocks down half your body. Rav Yochanan amar af kol gufo shel Adam shenamar v'ya ki amru alecha amata ne'anach v'amarta ashmu ki ba'a v'namas kolev. And Rav Yochanan takes it one step further. Based on the pasuk in Yecheskel, it breaks the whole body. So when you sign, and you basically are allowing yourself to get into this depressed state, so it really affects you. It affects your entire body. And so why would you do that? So Amalei hechi lo isnach. So his response is, what else do you expect from me? Rav Chista says, it really is the only appropriate response when seeing destruction like this. Because I remember, and he goes and he recounts, so based on the Shisna Nafiasa Biyamama, there are 60 bakers there during the day. Vishisna Nafiasa Balayla, 60 bakers at night. Vafin Lachoman de Sarich, baking for whoever needs. Velo Shaka Yadam in Kisa de Sarvid Dilma Asiani Bartuvim. And he always had his hand in his pocket ready to give out money. Because an Ani is going to come, and a deserving Ani is going to come. Vidmitulo Lakisa Kamachsif. And he's afraid that if the Ani comes by, and he has to take the time to reach into his pocket, take out money, he's going to be embarrassed and he's going to run away. And so therefore, he was always hand in pocket, ready to give out money. And he had openings in his house to all four directions, like Avram Avinu. And anyone who came into his house came in hungry, and left very satiated. Avrai. And during years of famine, he would be throwing out wheat kernels, barley kernels. The chomandik sifa milsa lemishkal biyamama asav v'shaka b'layla. Anyone who was too embarrassed to walk in during the day would collect the grains at night. Hasha nafa betila v'lo isnach. And now look at his house. His house is just simply a pile, and it's destroyed. And you don't expect me to let out a sigh? It's appropriate. My response is appropriate. Amalei hacham Rav Yochanan miyam shecharv beis hamikdash nigzor gzera abatem shat tzedikim sheicharvu. And quoting the name of Yochanan, that from the time of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, a decree that the houses of Tzaddikim are going to be destroyed. Shenemar b'oznei Hashem tzvakos, im lo batim rabim l'shama, yugadolim v'tovim me'en yoshev. Pasuk Yishayahu describing this kind of destruction. I'm Rav Yochanan ati d'kosh baruch hu l'achziran li shuvan. And then what's going to happen is that they're going to be resettled, reconstructed. Shenemar shiram also David aboschim Hashem kehar tzion. My heart, Zion, Atid HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lahachziro Lishuvo, Af Batem Shel Tzedikim, Atid HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lahachziro Lishuvan. So just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, he's also going to rebuild the houses of Tzedikim. Chazid Lo Miyashiv Daite. And he saw that he did not have Yishuv Adas. Amalei, Dai La'ev Ishiyei Karabo. And he says, look, I understand you're sad, but your sadness cannot exceed that of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu can deal with it, so you too should also... Right, it's a little bit rough, but deal with it. You're gonna have to deal with it just a little bit better. Tanu Rabbanan, Haro Kiver Yisrael Omer. When you see a cemetery of Jewish people, you say Asher Tzar Eschem Bedin, V'zan Eschem Bedin, V'kikal Eschem Bedin, V'asaf Eschem Bedin. Kadosh Baruch Hu treated you injustice from beginning until Kadosh Baruch Hu had to collect you. V'asil LaHakim Chem Bedin, and then Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring you back injustice. Marbury de Ravina Masayim Ba Mishmei de Rav Nachman Viyodea Mispar Kulchem. And Marbury de Ravina would add in a chasima to the bracha, and that chasima that he added was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows your numbers, Lachioschem Lekayim Eschem, to resurrect you, Baruch Mechaya Mesim. And you conclude with the Baruch HaTashem, Mechaya Mesim. Okay, you go to in America we don't have the minhag of saying this bracha, in Eretz Yisrael. If you go to cemeteries in Eretz Yisrael, So in Beit Shemesh they have this bracha right as you enter. Kivrei Ovdei Kochavim. As far as the cemeteries of the non-Jews, Amar Bushi Machem. Okay, so and again over here it could be that we're talking about bona fide idolaters, right? And the pasuk obviously not complimentary at all. Amar Yishuv Ben Levi Haro Es Chaver La'Acher Shoshim Yom. You see somebody after 30 days. Amar Baruch Shachianu V'Kimanu V'Gianu L'Zman Hazeh. You make a Shachianu La'Acher Yud Beis Chodesh. Now if after 12 months, Amar Baruch Mechaya Mesim. Now, whether or not to say these brachas nowadays, when you haven't seen someone for a long time, so the only thing I would say, just to take into consideration, this is not a halachic, it is a halachic discussion, but I'm not giving any kind of halachic rulings, is that nowadays we're in touch with everyone. So probably the Gemara is meant over here for like being totally out of touch with that person for either a month or for a year. Amarav ein ames mishakech malev alach shnemasar chodesh. In terms of the mace, so in terms of that raw memory and that pain, so it dissipates after 12 months. Shenemar nishkachachti kemeis milev ha'isi kechli oved. It was like a lost article. And although the Pasuk in Tehillim does not give us a time frame of a year, but it's understood that we're talking about a year. You can see the top Rashi over here, second line down, where Rashi says that the halachas of Yeyush, basically, is that after a year, you can assume that you pick something up after it was lost for a year, so then there'll be Yesh Bailim. It's Rashi bases this on the Gemara and Bab Metzia. Anyway, so that's how we know that we're talking about a year span. Rapapa Ravuna Bereder of Yeshua Bekazle, or Chapagobe, Berav Chanina Bereder of Ika. So a number of Amorim are walking and confront and meet up with Rabbi Chanina. Amorle Bahadi de Chazinach Berchena Alecha Tarte. Oh my gosh, we saw you? We're going to make two brachas now. Baruch Asher Chalak Mechach Masol Le'Reav and Shechianu. Okay, so we see a group of Chachamim, that's one bracha. And also, we haven't seen you in over a month. We're going to make a Shechianu. So Amr Lehu, so he said to them, Ananami Kevin Dechazich Chashvi Sinchu Elavai Kishisun Ribu in Beis Yisrael Uvrechino Aleichu Tlasa. He says, I'm going to one-up you. You're making two brachas when you see me. I'm going to make three brachas when I see you. Because seeing the two of you is like seeing the population of the Jewish people, which we learned earlier this morning demands its own bracha. And now I'm going to make three brachas. Hanach Tarti, so the first two that you just mentioned, and also Baruch HaChama Razim, the bracha that we were introduced to in the beginning of today's daf. Amar Lei Chachmina Kulehai. Now, when we're reading the Gemara over here, we don't really get the tones, right? I make this comment a number of times. That, you know, you read the Gemara, but at the same time, there was a tone issue. And the way he said it must have been a little bit like one upsmanship. Like, you're going to make two brachas, I'll make three brachas. Right? And he was showing off. And I'm saying that because I know what's coming up. So, Yaveh Be'enayu V'Shachiv. So they gave him the Ayin Hara, and he died. In other words, that it must be that his tone, in which he said, I'm going to make not two, but rather three brachas, it wasn't a jovial. It was a, I'm going to try to one up you, and so it deserved a nine hara. It received a nine hara. Okay, deserved. I can't say, but received it. I'm Rav Yishuv Ben Levi Arosa Habahaknim. Okay, now the Gemara now is going to go over what happens when you see things that are irregular, things that are unusual. So Arosa Habahaknim Omer Berch Mishan Abrios. So if you see somebody experiencing bohak, so that deserves a bracha. Bohak, he's got a lot of freckles, right? Rashi quotes a word, I don't know what it is, but it's ka'ad dashim. Basically, he's got spots all over his body. You know the word? Okay. Meisve, the Gemara challenges with the b'risa, rasa kushi, v'es a gichor, v'es a valkan, v'es a kapach, v'es a nanas. If a person sees somebody who is exceptionally discolored, either he's exceptionally black or exceptionally red, lavkan, if he is exceptionally white, so probably albino, v'es a kapach, Rashi describes as he's extraordinarily large, Rashi, he's wider than he is high, okay? That's obviously something extraordinarily unusual. Nanas, probably somebody who's suffering from dwarfism. Ves hadranikos. Rashi offers a couple of pshatim. Either the first pshat in Rashi, I don't understand what that means, but pivakum, or it could have just simply a distorted mouth. So Omer, so what's the bracha that you make? So Baruch Meshanes Abrios. Okay, so Kadosh Baruch Hu makes most of us look, quote unquote, normal. Normal only simply because so many of us look like so many others. But then he makes these exceptional creations. Okay, and it demands a bracha. Mishana Sabrios. They're outliers, they're exceptions. And you note the exception, the exceptional nature. Es akitev es asuma, ves pitui rosh. If somebody sees somebody who's amputated or somebody's blind, pitui rosh, that one's also a tricky one, right? He's got kind of like matted hair, something along those lines. Es achiger, someone who's lame, ves amukeshrin, someone suffering from boils or something like that, ves abakanim, and also someone suffering from bohak, omer berchlein emes. Okay, so these are all unpleasant situations to be in. So therefore, it's dynamis. Kadosh Baruch Hu, your justice is perfect. And even though we may not understand it, but this is what you deem to be justice and dynamis. Good. Now, the problem with the Gemara has is that the Boak over here is placed under the category of dynamis. And meanwhile, we said just moments earlier, Rabbi Shuv ben Levi said that you make Mishana Brios. That's a stira. So Lokasha, the Gemara says, okay, so I will resolve it. So, ha mi me imoha basa di isyaled. There's a difference between being born congenitally with this condition or having suffering from this condition after some time you're born. And contextually, this answer is wonderful. It's the right answer. Because in the Braisa, it's collected together with somebody who's amputated. In other words, clearly it's talking about people who are suffering this condition after they were born. Back to the elephant. I know the elephant made prominent here in this ninth parak of brachos. You see the elephant, you see the monkey, you see the kafuf, right? Right, could be what we described earlier. Whatever. So, Mishana Sabrios. Extraordinarily unusual animals, and therefore the bracha is a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Mishana Sabrios. Rab Brios Tovos, Vilanos Tovos. If you see beautiful trees, beautiful creations, Omer Baruch She, Kachalo Ba'olamo. The bracha is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is what you create in this world, and that is a bracha that you make. Okay, we will stop over here at the astronomy. Okay, I'll give myself an opportunity to look a little bit more at the astronomy. I spent some time last night with astronomy. Okay, Orion's belt coming right up. But anyway, we'll stop over here, and tomorrow we'll start with the astronomy. Okay, let's just recap. Today we talked about the brachas for seeing multitudes of Jewish people, multitudes of non-Jews. Brachas for Talmid Chachamim, for seeing kings. We spent a lot of time this morning with stories regarding people who behaved immodest. We went back to discussing seeing the bracha when you see settlements, Jewish resettlements, Jewish areas that were destroyed, idolatrous areas that were settled and destroyed. And we went through a slew of other brachas, seeing a friend after some time, after 30 days, after a year. Brachas that are said for oddities within nature, oddities within people. Okay, and that we'll continue tomorrow.